All in Christ's name this morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning service. And this morning, I'm looking forward to hearing from several different ones that Jessica, you got to keep it to about 15 minutes at the max because we have others. And so we want to hear what God did and how they saw God move through other people, what God did for them through this whole time of being in the prisons and sharing in there this week. And it's true, it does so much for me, myself, as I go into the prison. Yeah, we go in the, and we are definitely a blessing to those inmates too. But it does something to build your faith as you go share your faith. And so as the different ones come up this morning and share, pray for them. And the one thing that I really, again, noticed in the prison, and that is when I get up there to speak, you listen. They listened and they looked at me and they're like, they were expecting something from me. And so you talk about drawing out of me when you see that expectation, you know, they're sitting back, they're kind of like a sponge and it's squeezed and they're letting it out and it's drawing. That does something. And so for each one of you, As you sit here and as you listen this morning, as you hear what the different ones are going to share, listen with anticipation. Listen, those of you that are married, as if you were interested in what your wife is saying when she's talking. You know, us men, we have a pretty good way, we think sometimes, of faking it. You know, like we can actually be reading a text in the newspaper and being real good, paying real good attention to our wife. We don't, but we fool ourselves in thinking that. But the one night in Trenton, I was able to sit up front, like here, and I was able to watch the audience as evidence was singing. And Mark mentioned it later then too, but I had noticed this one, and actually he was one of the volunteers, but every song that evidence sang, he was singing along with it. And they went from fast songs to slow songs to hymns to bluegrass. And every one of them, he knew. And Mark had actually noticed it too, and he said something to me about it. Anyhow, the next morning, I talked with this guy, forgetting what his name was. But he said, that's one way that he worships, that it enhances his worship. And that is, he's made it a point to learn songs from all different what's the G-E-N-E-R-E-S? Genres. And he, you know, because sometimes when you sing a song of Wendell's liking, you know, Wendell's all into it, but the next song we sing, Wendell doesn't maybe care so much for it. He might just sit there motionless. So you don't know if Wendell's mad or if he's upset, or if he just doesn't know the song. But there's a lot of crowd interaction that you can do as you participate in just observing whoever's singing, whoever's preaching. And believe me, it does show itself. I've been in a congregation heard in preaching, and when you're preaching, you see the person, somebody in the back or somewhere shaking their head no when you say something. That is unsettling. One person being negative can do more damage than 10 people saying amen. And so you really do play a vital role in bringing out what God has in as someone is sharing through preaching or sharing through singing. And people do see that. When you're up front, you do see what's going on in the back. It's a lot more than what you would think you do. So anyhow, we're going to turn it over to those that were volunteers in the prison this week, and I'm not going to call up by name, but we want each one of y'all to feel free to come up and take your turn if you want to share something, and if you don't want to, why, that's okay too, but we want to give everyone an opportunity. Devin, you've got to. All right, who will be first?
Going into prison this time, never really know what to expect. I was really encouraged by all the inmates and the volunteers. Every song that we sang, everyone was getting into it, and you just knew that God was there. And then when Jerry brought the message, everyone was focused on God, and yeah, I was really encouraged by that.
Good morning. I'm used to having more of a captivated audience in front of me, so let's see if I can adjust. I was really encouraged this week by all the events, the services we went to. What amazed me was how God was able to work and work in other people's lives in spite of ourselves, our humanness and our mistakes. There were lyrics forgotten, picks dropped, chords wrapped around stuff they shouldn't have been wrapped around, but in spite of that, the message was able to get through despite of our weaknesses. And we were talking with Jerry a little bit, and he was saying, well, if you guys just don't make a face whenever you make a mistake, nobody will notice. And that is true. But it's our own human pride that is upset with ourselves after we make a mistake. But yeah, so that was, it just taught me, not everything has to be perfect for the Spirit to move. The one prison we went to, Trenton, I remember last year it was kind of unresponsive last year, so I was kind of worried kind of going in, but it could have had to do with it being 7 in the morning last year when we gave the service. And I didn't really get the service started out right, as I mentioned that I was impressed by their green plants out front as we were walking in. That kind of got a chuckle going. As soon as I said that, I knew I said the wrong thing, but they were thinking marijuana. But and then I mentioned that I work in my dad's hydroponic greenhouse over the summer. That definitely did not calm the laughter down. But so we quickly got into a song, but it ended up being one of the more powerful services we were at. God was definitely there. It was really encouraging. The one song that we sang, Turnaround, we didn't do it here last Sunday, but it's basically about repentance, and I guess that's my prayer, that daily I would repent of just myself, not wait till I make a big mistake and have to dread it, but daily fall on my face and admit that I have to put off my natural man and put on Christ.
I went into Leith Monday and Tuesday with a team. I was actually just going to go in the afternoons and play volleyball, but I was like, why not just go in and do it all? So I did. Anyway, the first day we went in, I was a little worked up. We got in there, and I have this like preconceived idea, I guess, of prisoners. I guess everybody does. And I was just like, this is going to be a little interesting. So we got in there, and we walked in, and we went on to the yard to head to one of their units or whatever they're called, and we passed different prisoners, and they were all like, hey, how y'all doing? And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a little bit easier than I thought it was. And so we got in there, and we started singing for them, and I sat down with three ladies, and they were actually called Spice Girls. I don't actually know what it stands for, I don't remember, but they were ready, like, they're actually all getting out soon, and so they went through 18 weeks of classes, and they were explaining it to me, but they were all Christians already, which was a little bit helpful. And so we just talked about whatever, and it eased me up so much. And so I was like, this is going to be good. Anyway, and so then we went and played volleyball, which is super interesting. And the next day, most of the ladies I talked with were already Christians. And I felt a little weird about that because I was like, you know, I didn't really like witness to anybody, but someone told me, like, you have no idea how much of an impact you make on people, whether you're witnessing to them or just sitting there being their friend. So that helped me feel a little bit better. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I wouldn't mind going back. So yeah.
The other day I came home from somewhere, I walked in the door and Dad said, "You're preaching on Sunday." So I wasn't sure about that for a while, but I kind of figured it out. The thing I think that impacted me the most going in was you could tell, a lot of the prisoners, you could tell that they were saved. And a lot of them in there, I'm sure, are spiritually stronger than I am even. But I was just very encouraged by the church that's behind the walls. And I know that if they can be that strong in there, that we can be strong out here. And that's, yeah, that had a big impact on me. So thank you for your prayers.
All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about our first night. It was at Tiger River. And I'm going to pick on Joel just a little bit here. But, okay. So it's about an hour and a half drive from here, something like that. And we get there, and I go inside, and I talk to the guard, and right away I'm like, oh, she is, she's, you know, she wasn't in a very good mood. You know, they're not sometimes. And so I was talking to her, talking about getting our stuff unloaded where she wants us to have it and all that. And she looks out the window, and she says, "What's he doing?" And they were doing construction out there, and they had these portable toilets out there, and Joel was headed for one of them. And she said, "He can't go in there. He's not allowed to use that thing." So I had to walk out there quick and get his attention and get him to not use the portable toilet out there. And but from then on, her attitude changed. It lightened her spirit for some reason. She was just as friendly as can be after that. And actually, when she was checking our equipment and stuff, she seen a mandolin, and she made Joel play her a little piece in the mandolin. And then that was Tiger River, and we were doing a service in the lower yard, but they make you go in the upper yard, and that's literally what it is. One's higher than the other. And since they were doing construction, it was steps that separated the upper from the lower. We had to go down all these steps. And, you know, this equipment weighs, you know, lots. I mean, it's heavy. Anyway, we get down to where the steps were, and here the guard that was taking us down there had called a dozen prisoners out to help us with our equipment down, and they carried most of our stuff down. And then on the way out, we had all the volunteers to help, so it really wasn't a big issue after all. So, and yeah, it went very well. Every night that we sang, we had plenty of time to get set up and do a sound check and all that, and that's rare. Usually there's at least one, if not two nights that you're kind of rushed and that type of thing. So God took care of the little details, as he always does, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, Jerry did the same thing to me that he did to his daughter. Only I took him serious, so I got my 3 points. I'm ready to go. but I see he wasn't serious because he put me down here. So. Well, yeah, he didn't have to do the steps this way. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I want to share with you. I have to go back to when I first ever did prison work, and that I grew up in a church where Martin Weber was a minister. Well, actually, he wasn't a minister of that church because he started the We Care program in Atmore, Alabama. And he would take us in as young people to sing and, you know, go through every time before we go through this real stringent thing about how to dress. And so that's what I remember. He took us into the Holman prison before it was ever occupied and saw the electric chair and, you know, but I still didn't know much about prison. My brother wrote the Romans Bible study that we passed out, and also the GPS Bible. He did the commentary in that. So, yeah, I have some background. Doesn't make me good at this, though. But I enjoyed going in with Gary and be a support, you know, to pray. I could sit back there. I could pray for him, and I could pick out people that I could see were struggling, and I enjoyed that. And I didn't have to eat prison food. We would afterwards go out to eat and with the rest of the group, and, yeah, it was fun. After Gary died, it was 2 months, and I went back to We Care and helped in the kitchen and was able to be with their speaker, who was an ex-prisoner, and he gave some awesome, awesome, challenging meditations. And the one I remember especially was about our testimony and how that we all have a story. We all have a testimony. And that for us not to share it is denying the next person an inheritance that we owe them. And it's an inheritance of hope that what happens in my life hopefully gives you hope that it can happen in your life too. So I'm very much aware that we're not all called to give our lives in prison ministry, but of course Jerry made the appeal that Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me, and yeah, so that was my first little nudge that, yeah, he's talking about me too. And there was a sermon several years ago that spoke about the lady who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and anointed it with the expensive perfume, and the disciples were very upset, and Jesus said, but she did what, he just says she did what she could. So that question was going on in my mind too. Can I do this? Can I not? Last year I knew I couldn't with my foot. I had had surgery, so that was an easy out, but this time I couldn't. I signed up, but I was still looking for a way out. Surely Donna needed me to babysit. Or I had my work. I always go on Tuesday, and I thought maybe somebody will die and I'll get to go to a funeral. You know, I wanted out. God took care of the work day. My lady gave me off without even knowing that I was needing to go to prison. So, also that week, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks before, and I don't even know, it might have been a sermon here. I don't know where I heard it, but it was talking about that the opposite of love is not hate necessarily, but that it's indifference. And I just really found myself there. And that love is really being able to point somebody to heaven, to point out the wrong path that they're on. If we love like Jesus loves, he prays for them. I knew I was going. And before I went, I prayed that I would find not only somebody to encourage, which I feel better at doing that, but that I would also be encouraged. And I identify a lot with you, Jessica, what you had to say about, you know, your preconceived ideas of what the people are like in there. About, I don't know, was it 20 of us went to Leith? We sang a lot of songs about love. It was Valentine's week, and so it really made it easy to have an entry into their lives. And like I said, I was praying for somebody that would encourage me as well. The first dorm we went into was a big open area. A lot of girls were in there. And after we got done singing, they called for count. And to me, count is one of the most discouraging things in prison. I know I wouldn't be a good prisoner. I could not stand there for a half hour without speaking at my door. And then be turned into my dorm, into my room, until the count was complete. It just seemed like a lot of wasted time and a lot of, I don't know, just spare time. So we ladies, we just sat at a table, and while we waited that half hour for the count to be over, I just prayed, Lord, you know, whoever you send me, I want to be encouraged by her. Because I wasn't, I needed it myself. And he sent me a girl by the name of Rochelle. And this girl, she brought her journal down with her. And she was carrying it like this. And she just had the biggest smile on her face. And she was looking around. And I could tell she was trying to decide where she was going to go. And I just smiled back at her and welcomed her to come to my table. And we did. We had the most amazing time of sharing. And it didn't matter what I said about Scripture. She wanted to know where it was. And she'd write it down, and so it was really good. And we ate prison food that night, didn't we? Yeah. I don't believe there was any visible responses that night, but so we didn't really share one-on-one with anyone. But Tuesday was the day I was really looking forward to. We went into a different dorm, and it was... call it the quads. Is that what you called it? Like, it had four room, big rooms, and you go in the center, the guard's in the middle, but this, everything's glass, and so that guard can see in all of them. And this was, I think, everybody in there was had good behavior. They had jobs. Nobody wore these little jackets, which says meant that they had misbehaved. And they wore the color of jacket. It's not a nice jacket. It's just like an apron type of thing. Not attractive. Not, no. But it wasn't long. We learned, you know, that was meant that they had misbehaved. But in that day, Tuesday, there wasn't anybody like that there. But I knew that there was a girl in there, and I can't talk about prison without talking about Gina. I had met Gina 2 years ago. In the bondage to freedom. She was Hispanic and a mother of two. She's not more than, I don't know, in her late 20s, early 30s maybe. But 2 years ago, she was very hard and bitter, insecure, but had this really tough facade about her. She actually told me, she said, nobody messes with Gina. And that was her way of protecting herself. And she wore a jacket. Now that I think about that, she wore a jacket. She's the first one that told me what the jacket meant. That year, I led her to the Lord during volleyball. And I feel like it was really a true experience for her. It was the first time. You know, you just don't have enough time with them. But... I sent her a Bible, my own Bible, my Spanish Bible, and we wrote some. She told me that things weren't going well, that it was hard to be a Christian in there, that she wasn't reading her Bible. Yeah, things were just pretty bleak and getting worse, I guess. But last year, Diane shared with me how that she again went through the bondage of freedom and was able to forgive her abuser. And so I was really anticipating seeing Gina. And we were in this little room with where they crochet and do all kinds of very interesting, good things. And I saw her coming down the walk, and she had the biggest smile on her face. And she was talking to another inmate. And so I quickly made my way to the door, and when she saw me, I wanted to hug her so bad. And to me, that's the hardest thing in prison, because you can't touch them. And we show so much affection by touch, I do. And so I had to tell her. I said, Gina, I'm hugging you. And later, 2 hours, I don't know how long we were in the gym, 2 hours at least, two and a half, I don't know, from 2 to 4:30 or so. Anyway, the whole time we spent talking and sharing and talking and talking and talking, and not once did she refer back to her old life or, you know, just being so hard and bitter. And I could tell that she had a life change and that now she had hope. It wasn't just that God's going to get me out of here early, but her hope was that God was going to see her through this experience. She said at one point, she said, I can do this. And she told me how precious her Bible is to her, and that meant a lot to me. And that morning, Tuesday morning, Dwayne had shared a visual on forgiveness. And I guess maybe those kinds of things stick with me better than just words. But it was an awesome thing about how that part of forgiveness is freeing that person, and by carrying that cross, that becomes our cross. I don't know that I ever really thought too much about what my cross was, but to be able to have a visual to share with the inmates was an awesome thing, and hopefully he'll share it here sometime. Maybe he's already done it and I missed it. Later, okay, so I'm totally exhausted. I have never felt this exhausted before, that I was afraid to even stand up. I was so tired. And then 10 of us went to lockup. Was it that many? And I'd never been to lockup before, other than see it in that new prison that was, yeah. We had to put on these vests, bulletproof vests, and it seemed like a silly thing to do because probably lockup is the safest place to be. They're behind doors, locked doors, bars, and glass on the windows. But that was another experience, just to see the hunger of the girls and the fact that they're just like me. I mean, they're just, some of them are different, but. And then we went and ate prison food again. One of the ladies said that she felt like we could learn to eat what's set before us, but there's just no way. I could not learn that. I would rather put a napkin over what I can't eat and just... I guess before they used to let you eat with the inmates, and that was a way of showing them that you could do what they do, I guess. But we... They kept us apart. There wasn't supposed to be talking. It just wasn't a fun time where you interacted with them. So I have no feeling, no sorrow for what I did. Okay. That night, when the invitation was given for new believers, Brenda raised her hand, and I was excited to think that I was going to be able to lead somebody through the steps of salvation. But I quickly learned that, I don't know if they don't understand what the invitation's about, but most of the girls that respond are simply wanting you to pray for their children, or it's not very often that people, I don't know, I haven't experienced it anyway, that it's a new believer. But the music, I mean, not the music, but I sat under the speaker, and it was so loud that I was actually screaming at her to talk to her, and she was, I led her through the way of plan of salvation. She did it. But then I found out later she was already a believer, so I felt like I was leading the woman across the street that didn't want to go. But anyway, it was a good experience for me. But I was so tired, and I get out, and all the ladies want to go to the coffee shop. And I said, no way, I cannot do this. I was so dead. I was so tired. I don't know, talking to Gina those 2.5 hours, I was so, so drained. And sitting with my head this way, I still have a sore neck. Just, and I was afraid to drive home that night, but called my children, and they talked to me until I got home. That night, I thought I would just fall into bed and go to sleep, but I laid awake all night. I did not sleep at all. And I text Diane about 7:30, and I said, You know, if the Lord just gives me 1 hour, I can do it. So, and that I would meet them at the door. I prayed. I said, Lord, you give sleep to the righteous. Am I not righteous? What's going on? I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep an hour. So I got up, I dressed, I made my fire, I ate, and I felt good. So I decided that if I didn't go, I would always regret it. I'd always wonder, who was I supposed to talk to, or, you know, what is Satan trying to keep me from? I didn't know who to blame. But is that the last day? That's the last day we're there. That morning, we go into another quad, and these are the hard criminals, and a lot of them have jackets on. And we sang in all four rooms, and as we were singing, I was trying to decide, now, which one am I going to go back to talk to? And I heard Diane say different times that these people are so receptive, and they already know us, or we've already interacted with them at the gym, and I didn't see it. I just thought, these people are so, so hard. And I didn't want to go to this one. 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 But the last one we sang is, I can do it here. But already, I don't know, two or three people stayed in that room. So I walked out and I tried to find a room that nobody was already in. And I found one. And I ended up with the one that I said, I am not going to talk to her. And her name was Bobby. And Bobby, her demeanor, her body language just told me that she's mean. She didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity or anything. She had deep scars in her body. But she softened up. I ended up sharing the plan of salvation with her. And when I look at it, there's no way I could have done that in my own strength. It was completely God's energy and the thoughts, everything. And while I went back into the room, I noticed other people were complaining about fatigue. I was tired still, but the Lord was definitely there with me. And so I just want to thank you for your prayers. It definitely got me through the week. Wednesday night, I slept like a baby, and somebody said, well, that's not a good thing. So I slept. I slept good, but I had a dream, and I never dream. I dreamt that I had this beautiful plate of food set before me. And as I was eating, I noticed there was this blob of prison food in my food. Oh, it was disgusting. Anyway. I mean, there was one day that had some good food. The chicken stew was good. But you just walk into the prison, the cafeteria, and I just couldn't do it. But anyway, I didn't talk to you about a 72-year-old lady that I met. And she had only been in there like 6 months. And it was her first offense. I just could not imagine. And she said her husband teaches Sunday school, and that because of this experience, he didn't know if he should continue teaching. But she was in the church, but she fell. She's just so like me. I mean, we could share the Lord together, but what happened that in a weak moment she did something that put her in prison? She made a mistake. And reading in Proverbs, I came across this verse at the beginning of the year. I just asked the Lord to help me hate what he hates and to love what he loves. And this verse really stood out to me a week before I went into prison. And I thought of it every day. It says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. And I don't know if you catch it, but there's only one thing in that list that puts you into prison. And that's the evil behavior. But it's not listed in an order. It's just listed among the other things. It's I hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. And I just know that if I were to be judged by God's rules, that I should be in prison. Just, I don't know. We have, yeah. Thanks for your prayers.
Since we're talking about Leith, I'll put a few words in. Ruth really did a good job. And I was sitting back there thinking, wow, if I wouldn't be going in, I think I'd want to. So I hope that that helps all of you to have a desire to come join us next year. And we're looking for more mentors weekly. We need it really, really bad there. One thing about the crusade is just a great time. The girls look forward to it, and I told them at wrap-up that something that I'll be reaping from, and they'll be so excited for a long time about it in the weeks to come. But I just want to thank those who prayed here, because I know a lot of people were doing that, and that's a huge, huge part of going in, is having that covering of prayer. And we just had such a good time. Everything went so well, from the warden to the chaplain, the officers. Everyone was just so nice this year, and it's not always like that. So I think that was an answer to prayer. And I love seeing the first-timers, the young ones. Jessica, last year we had Andrea. And I don't know, I think it just touches those girls in a way to know these girls are coming in there and they're not being paid, you know. They could be doing a lot of other things. And it also, I know, does a lot for them, too. And I thought this year we're going in the first part of the week instead of the last part. And usually Thursday night is liver night there. And I'm not a liver lover. I have a real struggle with that. And so I thought, oh, I'm gonna be doing pretty good this year, you know. Well, what do you know, Wednesday night, liver. And I was like, oh, anyway. But we get to the cafeteria, and Ruth talked about the chicken stew. That was really tasty, actually. And what do you know, they had a pan of chicken stew there. You could have a choice. So God even works. He works even in that, I think. Anyway. I was so blessed, too, at the devotionals every morning. We had been doing this seminar during the crusade, so we didn't get to go in the morning to the devotionals they have for the volunteers. But that was such a blessing, and they had this guy there that served, I don't know, 43 years of his life in prison, and he's probably in his early 60s or something. And he shared one morning, and then the next morning, the Bontrager's oldest son, he's early 20s, and he feels called to preach, and so he gave us a little mini sermon there. And I just had to think of the contrast of those two lives and the way they started out, and it's such a blessing, you know, to have that godly heritage and teaching. And yeah, I was blessed.
Yeah, this time at prison was fun. I hadn't went for the last 2 years because I was at Bible school. And it was good to go again. It was fun. And when we were at Trenton, I think, we were sitting there, we were up there playing and stuff, and in the front row, I seen this young guy. He didn't look much older than I did, but I was sitting there thinking, I was like, what could you do to him, or what could you say to him that, like, I was thinking of me, what I could do, because it looked like I was the same age, I just kind of felt sorry for him, because he was in there with all those other guys and stuff, but. Yeah, it was fun, and I was blessed by our. We had a lot of fun. Our group did, and it was fun listening to Jerry preach too. It's not like he preaches here at home. It's different. No, it's still good. No, Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it's different in a good way. Yeah, we had fun. All of our practices and stuff for our group all paid off. It was fun and stuff. And on the way home one day, or on the from one prison, I don't know what it was, but we figured out, or Joel figured out, that we had 30 more Pennsylvania people than South Carolina people in the prison. And that needs to change next year. So what Diane said, if you haven't went in there, you need to think about going in there next year, or in whenever other people go in, because it's fun, and you'll be blessed if you go in.
Amen. One of the things that happens, like with the Prison Crusade that I love so much, is like Ruth talked about the devotions in the morning. And this year, I'll leave the bell here. This year, I was all excited. Walter came to every one of the breakfasts, and just to see him sitting there soaking up what we were sharing. And a couple times he talked about it, he said, this is so unique to sit here among believers that are talking about God day after day after day. That's powerful. And I want to bless you for sharing that too, because I don't think about it a lot of times. We're always going and doing something, and it's like, but to hear that, that's powerful. To come among believers that are sharing what God's doing in the prisons, the testimonies, just the devotions. Go to the prison services in the evening. But anyway, be that as it may, I want to say this. The first night I was in prison, we were in Tiger River Upper. You all were in Lower. And we were with a new group, new family from Pennsylvania, had never done anything in prison before. They had 8 children. And they were really glad I was along, just because of understanding the prison system and everything else. But we got in there, had a great time. They sang wonderful. Didn't have a clue if there was anything going on among the people or anything. They had never been in there, so they didn't see anything happening. Anyway, as I got up to share, there was just a wall of darkness among them people. And I can't explain it other than this. Who said that you preach different? Devin. Yeah, you do preach different in prison. There's something about them guys that draw it out of you, and I'm serious about that. It is alive, and it draws you out. And I was out here in front, walking down the aisle, sharing. I knew exactly what I wanted to share. I knew exactly what I wanted to have, and I had my Bible laying on a podium here. And just like that, the podium tipped over, and the Bible fell off. It's like, what? Turned around, went back, and an inmate that was sitting right here had picked it up and laid it up there. And so I flipped it. I was in Nehemiah. And I was talking about the walls of Jerusalem anyhow. And I laid it open again, and I wasn't ready to get into the text yet. And I went out front again, and I was talking, and just like that, it falls over again, crash. And I went back, and I was like, I was just dumbfounded. It's like, this thing wasn't that bad. I mean, what is going on here? So I laid the Bible on it again, and I drew a blank. I had no clue. I had no clue even what book I was supposed to be in. I didn't even know where I was going to go. All of a sudden, everything just went blank. And I just stopped right there. I went out and I cried out against the darkness that was hindering what was going on in this service. And just like that, it was like, bam. I went right back, knew exactly where I wanted to be in Nehemiah, went forward and preached and shared the word of God. And you're right, you do different in prison. It was powerful. And then the response, but the breaking through that went forward that night, I wish you could explain God, but you can't. You just can't do that. But anyway, it was powerful. But just to break through that darkness, because I realized that there was a demonic or a dark spirit that was just trying to disturb everything that was going on, that the Word of God couldn't go forward. But to know that we have the authority in the name of Jesus, that He already won, is great comfort when you're involved with services like that anyhow. So I just want to give God glory for what happened that night after all that was going on there.
Well, I went in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and to play basketball. Took several of the guys here went, and we have all talked it over and realized that Dwayne will never be an athletic director. when you schedule your first game of the year, what do you usually schedule in college football? Most of the time, it's somebody who you know you're going to beat. Not always, but because it builds morale. You get out of there and you feel good about yourself. And well, he sends us to McCormick, which is known for beatdowns. So we get in there and, you know, we're feeling like, you know, we make and do all right. Well, we walked out of there thinking we never want to go into prison again. We didn't get beat by 10, you know, we got beat by 52. So, yeah, I mean, they loved every minute of it. I mean, who wouldn't? When we walk in there and I'm not a big guy, but when I look at the guy I'm playing beside and he's 6'9", and you know, I could tell a Bible story of David and Goliath real quick in that. That was Tuesday, so we leave out of there Tuesday after getting beat by a combined score of 82, I think. So Wednesday we're going to Perry. Tuesday we're going to Perry. So we went up there, and that's always a lot more fun. The coach doesn't pull. I said, well, anybody can. I can go into a prison myself and pick out 9 guys and put a pretty good basketball team together. So McCormick, they do that. Perry, they play a little more fair. We had a lot of fun in Perry. We were wore out after 2 games at Perry. We had to turn around and drive an hour and a half to McCormick and play 2 more that afternoon. So we get in there, and I'm thinking, please, you know, don't have them big guys in there anymore. You know, we're wore out. Just the cleaning crew, the kitchen committee, you know, anybody. So we get in there, and they don't have any of the big guys. The ones they have is the 5'9 and under crew, which tells you all they wanted to do was run all afternoon. I mean, we get in there, and there's 200 of the – it's the worst dorm, they said, in there. So there's 200 people in there, and these guys are just running from one end of the gym to the other. And we're defeated before we ever stepped on the – about 15 minutes into it, we were already wore out. But once again, we had a good time on Tuesday. On the way out of the prison, it was interesting. We were heading out, and the coach was with us. And we got into the yard, and all of a sudden I look back, and the coach ain't there no more. So I'm like, well, let's just keep on walking. You know, I've been in and out of here 100 times. So we walk all the way through the main gate there, you know, where there's 3 gates in a row. And basically they open almost all 3 gates at the same time, and we just walked straight through. Nobody ever asked us anything. Walked all the way out to the last gate, and then the guard at the last gate said, the warden wants to talk to y'all a minute before you go out. So we waited on him, and he wanted us to come back into the inside the fences there, and he wanted to see all of our license, and he said, we've had a major, you know, malfunction back there at them gates. He said, under no circumstances should y'all have been able to walk through without somebody identifying who you were. Because, I mean, nobody even asked us. We just waved to them, and they opened the gate, and we walked straight on through. And he wanted to check all of our license, you know, and make sure, you know, who we were. And he said, you know, we've got to go back and handle this situation, you know, so it doesn't happen again back here. So that was an interesting afternoon. Wednesday, the ones that could still walk, we went to Perry, Perry then again. And we had two more good games there again. But I'm glad after 3 days it's over, because you couldn't walk much anymore after that. But we had a lot of fun, and I'm anxious to see. I keep telling these boys in Sunday school, these young guys, I said, I want to stay around long enough to take them in one time, because I said, I want to see what it's a different world in there. The inmates love it. I don't care getting beat by that many. They love it. You know, I take that back. I do care. I hate losing, but they enjoy it, you know, and so I look forward to it. But yeah, we had a good time. Thank you.
Okay, thank y'all, each one, for sharing. Jesus did say about going into prison, and you know, often you hear people say, well, that's just not really my calling, or it's not my cup of tea, but he has called each one of us to visit those in prison. And it's really not as difficult as what you would think it would be, because like I said earlier, these guys are sponges. They'll soak in what you say. And so in the first week in December, the North Florida Crusades are coming up, and I would love for us to get a group of guys from here to take off and go. And it's actually even a different experience if you can take off and leave your work, leave your home, and go somewhere else. But literally, from Pennsylvania, there was, what did we say? There was 140 or 150 people from Pennsylvania. I mean, they're pumped. I mean, it is the highlight of their year, and there's a lot of first-timers even that were on there too, but it is something that they look forward to tremendously. So I would ask each one of y'all to pray about it and to see how God would direct you and be open to his leading. Just in briefly here, just in sharing with the inmates in the prison service, the one thing that's really neat is, like, for me, I had my family, part of my family in there, and I talked about God and his son and who his son was. And there in John 14, where verse 6 said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by me. And in prison especially, you have it in the close confines where you have all these different religions and these people that say there's many different ways to God. You have people who say that Jesus was just a good man. Jesus was just a prophet. Jesus was just whatever. But he's not an equal with God. And so I actually had the opportunity, as I was sharing, to bring that out, to allow people to, you want to go back to Nana? To bring that out, that Jesus is God's son. And actually, after one of the services, one of the guys came up to me and he's like, he appreciated the message, but he said he thinks that us acknowledging Jesus as being God actually does disservice to God, because God really, he thinks God would really get angry with that. And I was like, no, listen. I said, I appreciate you asking the question. And he had read his Bible too, you know. But I was able to take and relate back to my own son. And he said, I said, this is my son up here. I said, anytime someone would come to my son and give my son a compliment on something, how he did it or how he's living his life, and I hear that or I find out about that, that does not do me, and I'm not saying that I'm God, but in that sense, it does not do me any disservice or any discredit. It does not even make me mad. But it actually brings me more glory and more honor when I can see the life maybe that I've tried to live through Christ being lived out in my own flesh and blood. And then someone goes up to my own flesh and blood and says a good thing and compliments them on their life that they're living. That gives me more glory than if you would come up to me and talk about the things that I have done myself. I said, and it was so beautiful to be able to use that illustration and to say, that is exactly who God is with his son Jesus, that he sent him because he loved us. He sent him when he loved us. He loved us when we were unloving. And Jesus had the authority to say that I am in God and God is in me. I and the Father, we are one. Anyhow, it was just a neat experience to use Scripture and then take back and point back to something. Okay, here's the situation we have right here, and I can point you back to this. It was definitely a week that was tiring, you know, amongst trying to, you know, and there again, if I wouldn't have been at home, it would free up some there too, where you wouldn't have to, you just don't concern yourself with the things that are going on at home when you're away. But thank you again, each one, for sharing. Why don't you share a little bit about how important it is for families to be out there? Okay. I've wondered even how much our message, like me getting up there and preaching, how much the message even goes out. And it does. But the thing that we've found out and seen over and over and over is the impact that families make when you see a mom and a dad with 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 children. The Bontragers have 10. But they come into a service and they get up there and they act and look like they love each other. And believe me, they can tell if you're real or not. But then you talk about, this is my lovely wife here. I've been married to her for 28 years, and we have 10 children. And as it goes on, they begin to realize that I'm standing here saying that I have 10 children, and I don't. I'm not talking about myself. But I have 10 children, and all of these 10 children are from the same woman. And this woman I have lived with and been married to for 28 years or whatever it's been, we're monogamous. We're monogamous. We have been faithful to each other. That is unheard of. I mean, these guys are just like, no. And so that makes probably even a bigger impact even than the, quote, message that we bring to them. It's unheard of. It's like a fairy tale. But they're actually seeing it right before their own eyes. And so don't think that you don't have a message to take in there with your story, with your life, as you go in and minister to these inmates. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for sharing, those of you that came up here and gave of your time. And Dwayne is going to do the Bondage to Freedom seminars this next week at McCormick and at Leith. He said there's 180 ladies signed up at Leith to take this. So let's continue to bathe him in prayer as he leads out in this too. Okay. Are we done? Thank you all for being here this morning. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, thank you again for meeting us here this morning. Thank you for the power that you give us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that we can have living inside of us and that we can be motivated to live our lives in such a way that it would bring honor and glory to your name, not because of who we are, but because of us accepting your plan and you putting a part of yourself into us. Lord, would you help us to be bold for you tomorrow and the next day as we go out and as we interact with people around us. God, help us to know how and when you want us to share and that we would always, by our lives, be that example. Thank you again for being here this morning with us. We ask that you would dismiss us here. Keep us safe. Keep us in your will and in your care. Help us to honor you with everything we do and say. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all are dismissed. Thank you.